Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure, as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Ron Strauss is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, as I promised you. Ron is the co-founder and senior executive officer of BrandZone, LLC. He consults with and counsels hundreds of chief executives all across the country, around the world, on how to employ the power of their brands. And he and a guy named William Neal have written a book called Value Creation, The Power of Brand Equity. Ron, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Here's my first question. Well, let me stop for a second and bring you up to speed with where we are with my audience. My audience, anytime they hear me that I'm going to talk about branding, they start rolling their eyes. Ron, because they know where I'm going. They know I'm going to get on my branding soapbox. And I actually am proud of my branding soapbox because I've been talking about this for a long time. I think branding is one of the missing links in way too many small business marketing strategies, operating strategies, marketing strategies, whatever they're trying to do to penetrate the market. It's a missing link. And I'm trying to introduce them to smart people like you who know all about branding, who can help us understand this. So here's my first question for you, Ron. Why did you use the word value in the title of your book? I mean, the title of your book is Value Creation. Only in the subtitle do you mention brand. Why did you use the word value first instead of brand?
Well, it's because that's what brand is all about. In our opinion, brand is core to the process that helps a business create value.
All right, this is going to be in the test, ladies and gentlemen. Say that again, Ron.
A brand is core to the process that helps create value in a business.
Mm-hmm. What kind of value? How does the value manifest?
Well, there's a couple of ways of looking at value in a business. One is financial value of the business, if it's a public business, and that would be its market capitalization. A lot of people describe that as shareholder value.
Right.
And the other value is the economic value of the business, the sum of its assets less its liabilities.
Mm-hmm. But on the first example, what you're saying is the value of that publicly traded company, of its brands in the market, that value though in that dimension that you're talking about right now is based on performance, past performance, trust, based on you know what other people say about you. These are things that you can't really touch and hold, aren't they?
Well, let me take a step back and describe it a different way. If you look at how people have historically looked at the value of companies, they've tended to look at the balance sheet of the company.
Right.
And when you look at the balance sheet of most companies, what you find is that a large part of what makes up their market capitalization or their value in the eyes of investors doesn't show up on the balance sheet.
Right.
And the reason for that is that intangible assets normally don't appear on a company's balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So the implication of this is that most people out there, investors, when they try to value a company, don't get through the company's information, the kind of insight they really need to fully understand the value of a company. And that has worked to the advantage of some really savvy investors like, for example, Warren Buffett,
mm-hmm.
who, by the way, recently became the world's richest man.
Right.
And it was interesting. I was lucky enough to hear an address that Warren Buffett made to a graduate class at Emory University's Goizueta School of Business. And one of the students said to him, "What's the secret to your amazing success as an investor?" And he went on to share with the group there his thinking process. And I think it's very revealing, and it would be of real value to especially people who run a small business to have some insight into how he thinks and how he looks at value. What he said was he looks at a business as a castle surrounded by a moat. And in his mind, he said the castle, the bricks, the mortar, represents the tangible assets of the business, the machinery, the equipment, the building, the cash on hand. All of that would be the tangible assets. From a financial perspective, it's known as the book value less the liabilities.
Right.
Surrounding the castle is a moat. And as you all know, back in the Middle Ages, that was the only protection that was afforded the castle.
Right.
Because back then everyone wore heavy armor, and if you tried to get across the moat, you sank to the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So the moat represents the brands, the intellectual property, the intangible assets of the company. And what Mr. Buffett was saying is that the wider and deeper the moat, the more secure the future earnings of the company will be. And, of course, as an investor, what every investor is interested in is what is the free cash flow and how secure will that be against competitors going on into the future.
Mm-hmm.
And
the thing is you can take a broken company from an asset standpoint, but with good brands, you can build on that. You can fix that and turn that around very quickly, but just by adding some mechanical, physical stuff like money.
Exactly.
But when you've got a broken brand, you know, it takes a whole lot more physical stuff like money to fix a broken brand, because you may just have to throw it away and start over again. And therein lies the real value, isn't it?
That's a big part of it. But what a brand really is, another way to look at a brand is as a quality assurance device.
Right.
What a brand does is it makes a promise to the various stakeholders of a firm. Without regard to size, this applies as much to small business. In fact, in some ways, even more so than for large business.
Hold on to that thought, Ron. We've got to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back after these messages. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. We're having a great visit with our new friend, Ron Strauss. He's the co-author of Value Creation, The Power of Brand Equity. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really important stuff. Stay with us. 20 after.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
The late, great Otis Redding, ladies and gentlemen.
Watching the ships
roll in.
Then I watch them.
Welcome back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're sitting on the dock of the bay visiting with our good friend, our good new friend, Ron Strauss, the co-author of Value Creation, The Power of Brand Equity. He and William Neal have written this book. It's outstanding. It's one that I highly recommend to you. By the way, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find the show and all the things that we do here, the archives, the articles, the Brain Trust members. Subscribe to our newsletter. Check out our blog. We update it every weekday, et cetera, et cetera. It's all free. Show up. We'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. AskJim.biz is our knowledge base. That's where you get small business answers right now. So I hope you'll check that out too. And it's also free with no barrier to entry. Ron Strauss, we're talking about branding and the value of brands. And, you know, one of the things that I think I've been thinking about this lately, Ron, and one of the things that I think has sort of hurt small businesses from the standpoint of valuing their brands, a lot of times if you go to buy a small business, if you decide to buy somebody's small business, you would hire an accountant to help you with that. You would hire an accountant to help you pull that together. And I love accountants. I love CPAs. I encourage small business owners to hire them, to use them religiously. But accountants who help put together deals like this, they don't know how to value goodwill. They don't know how to value brands because they can't add it up. They can't add and subtract it. They can't, you know, plot it on a balance sheet. And so consequently, way too many small businesses are sold without any regard or any value placed on the goodwill. And I think that's one of the problems in small businesses. What do you think about that?
Oh, I agree. I think it's a tremendous problem. Many businesses are sold as a financial transaction rather than looking at the strategic value of the business to a potential buyer.
Right.
And I have personal experience in this. The company that I was previously a partner in was sold back in the late 90s, and we were very careful about seeking out not a financial buyer, but a strategic buyer.
Right. Tell the audience the difference.
Well, a financial buyer is, as you said, they're going to pay you based on your current cash flow, but it's a pretty straightforward formula that they use to arrive at the value of the business. A strategic buyer, though, will see a lot more value in that same cash flow because they see complementary opportunities with your business and with other businesses they may already have. So by putting the one and one together, they get more than two. They get three, four, or five.
There's some kind of a homogeneous fit there for them. You've got a little piece of the puzzle that they could get if they wanted to, but you've already created it, and they can buy it from you ready to eat cheaper than they could create it themselves.
And the one thing that has great value to them is time.
Mm-hmm.
And this really saves them a lot of time. And if you have a good staff on hand, if you have some trained people, and perhaps as important, if you have a base of customers, they can easily access that, and they're off and running.
Well, see, here's another thing that happens that's unfortunate for small business, Ron. They operate their business for 25 years without ever really trying to build and leverage their brand, develop the brand value that you talk about in your book, without really giving intention to that and making it something that they talk about with their managers all the time and budgeting money to budgeting a certain amount of money to build those brands and to develop those brands. But yet when they get ready to sell their business, the book value is $1 million and they ask $3 million. Why? Because I've got all this goodwill with the community. Well, you know, you haven't done anything up to now to justify that extra $2 million. You could have, but you didn't do it, so why are you asking for it now?
Well, you know, in a way, the term goodwill is a bit of a misnomer when you talk about the value over and above the book value. Goodwill is what the buyers expect to get in terms of economies of scale and other benefits after the company is acquired. What often happens, though, is that those economies of scale may not be realized, and then you have to go through an impairment process and restate the amount of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really a one-to-one comparison to the brand value you get.
But that's what small business owners, that's what they call brands. They call goodwill, and they
shouldn't.
That's exactly right. But it's as close as they get to what they should be talking about, which is the branding, which is what you talk about in your book.
Right, and what brand really represents is your ability to get greater volume and or a price premium and or greater loyalty on the part of your employees, customers, and other stakeholders. And it's the loyalty factor that has a lot of intrinsic value, because one of the biggest expenses that small businesses at retail have to undergo is employee churn.
Right.
That's a huge issue.
Yep.
Especially for small businesses in the restaurant or food service.
Oh, yeah. It's a killer.
It's a killer. And if you look at a company that back in the 80s had 11 stores, they figured out how to solve the turnover issue, among others, and they now are a 14,000-store chain.
And that is
by the name of Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly. Hold on to that thought. 29 after the hour. We're going to be right back. Ron's going to stay one more segment with us. We've got a lot more good stuff to talk with him about, and we'll do that right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Gracious, Mr. Humble. Glad to be with you. Glad to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we thank you for that and consider you one of the highly intelligent members of the human race. You're going to be glad you did and that you stayed with us because Ron Strauss is still with us. Ron is the co-author, along with William Neal, of the outstanding new book on branding called Value Creation, The Power of Brand Equity. Ron, give us the website and tell us how we can find it.
The website is www.valuecreationbook.com.
Valuecreationbook.com, and it's available where?
It's available at, you can go online or in the actual bookstore for Amazon, online, and Barnes & Noble.
And Ron Strauss is one author, and William Neal is the other author, and so check that out. Folks, it's outstanding. Ron, talk to us about some specifics that you've learned from big companies who are really good at branding. Talk to us about how what small business owners can learn from them. And one of the things I think is that I'd like for you to sort of weave into your comments, Ron, is one of the problems I think small business owners have is they see Nike spending billions of dollars on advertising and marketing. They see, you know, Coca-Cola doing the same thing, et cetera, et cetera. And they get intimidated by what these people spend for these things. It's not necessary, is it, for small businesses?
No, it isn't. And, in fact, a big part of building brand value is quite aside from marketing communications. It's what your brand stands for and what you do, how you think, feel, and act in delivering on that promise. So, for example, a lot of people value being recognized. We live in a society that in many ways has grown a little bit less personal over the years, and everyone wants to be recognized and acknowledged mm-hmm. as a human being. So if I'm running a small business, one of the simplest things I can do is when a customer walks into my business is acknowledge them. Learn their name, and then when they walk in, call them by their name.
Mm-hmm. And have your employees do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And find out what they like and what they don't like. And that's... It's hard for sometimes for people to see the Nike swoosh and compare that directly to recognizing your customer and thinking that both of those are brand value.
They are essentially brand value related. When you acknowledge people who come into your store, you make them feel good about themselves. You're building a relationship with them rather than it just being a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can lift it above just being a transaction, you've created a competitive advantage.
One of my friends...
I'll give
friends...
you an example.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead. No, go ahead.
I'll give you an example. There's a dry cleaning store in my former neighborhood that I went to, and on my second or third visit there, the owner and his brothers and their employees all knew my name and my wife's name. And I said to him, how did you do that? Because I look at it, you know, from a brand perspective. And he said, well, you have to give us your names for the tickets.
Uh-huh.
So we have the information. Why not use it?
Right.
And, it's not rocket science.
Well, here's another thing. And you can use technology to help you with this. Find out what your customers want, what they like. Next time you get some of that in, or if you get a new variation or new product or whatever in, get their email and send them an email. Say, hey, John, I know you like a certain thing, and we just got some of it in. Let us know if you would like to come by and look at it. I mean, that saves them time. It lets them know that you're thinking about them, and that is part of your brand. And it can be as powerful as the Nike swoosh.
It can be tremendously powerful because, regrettably, most other small businesses aren't doing it. So you stand out simply by doing that, and it helps differentiate your small business from all the others out there.
So you're saying customer service is a huge element of your brand power?
huge element. That same cleaner, I was running late, and I needed to pick up some stuff for an important business meeting, and it was late on a weekend. And I called him up, and I said, gee, I'm not going to be able to get by there during your normal business hours. He said, no problem. I'm going to put your clothing at the store next door that will be open. It'll be available to you. Just walk in there and ask for it.
Are you gonna care what they charge you for that dry cleaning next time?
Exactly.
That's where your margins come from, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Ron, you got a lot more to teach us. Will you come back another day?
I'd be glad to.
Thank you very much for being here. Ron Strauss, ladies and gentlemen, co-author of Value Creation. It's an outstanding book on branding. Thanks, Ron. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
Got to go for just a few minutes. I'll be right back after this break with our good friend Wilma Goldstein. She's with the SBA.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.